So Luke chapter 4. Like I said, this evening I'll be preaching on dealing with temptation. So it'll be from verses 1 down to verse 18. And I want to start reading here verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. My eyes are changing, right? My left eye, Doris, that was good. It's changing. It was like the other day. What's that? I think it's just I'm getting old. So if I blink a little bit more, it's trying to fix these contacts. From Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." So I'm going to talk about temptation, and what we're going to see is our Lord, as he was getting ready to start his earthly ministry after he got baptized, we can see here he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And we see this, the temptations that was done. Interesting, when you read this, sometimes people believe that the temptation started after. Well, that's not true, because he was tempted here, being 40 days tempted of the devil, right? So the devil was tempting him during those 40 days as he was fasting. And now we see after those 40 days, the temptations that were recorded in Scripture. So, what were the other ones? I'm not 100% sure. God doesn't tell us, but God told us these because these are important for us to learn from it. And what you'll see is these temptations that are here, the devil still used today, right? We have a sin nature, and that sin nature, we will heed to a sin. We shouldn't. That song that we were talking about is, allowing the Lord to lead, to be surrendered to Him. And what we see is in this temptation, there was three different ones that the devil tried to get our Lord to do. And I want you to see that, and then be able to apply it to your heart, apply it to my heart. In the first one we see in verse 3, it says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." I want you to think of, here it is, he's trying to get our Lord, the Savior, the God of heaven, to listen and to follow him. To listen and follow him, as in the devil, right? Here it is, he wanted our Lord to prove that he's the Son of God. Now, you think about that, how dumb that is. But the reality is the devil knows him, right? You think about God created the devil. He was created as an angel. He's a fallen angel. He knew it, right? That'll be the Son of God, right? He knew that. And here it was. He's tempting him. He's trying to get him to listen and to follow to the devil. And the reality is, you think about it, he was trying to get, put yourself, you think about myself, put myself before God. God's will is last, your will's first, right? Think about yourself. What's more important for you, right? He did that to Eve in the garden. Hath God said, to try to get Eve to doubt what God said. And he was like, no, you're not going to die, right? God knows, right? That day that you do that, you're going to know good and evil. You're just going to be like God, right? So what was it? He tried to get her, and he did, because she gave in to temptation and saying, that fruit, that does look good to eat. And I'm going to take that. And she ate it, and next thing her eyes were open, and she gave it to her husband. And he ate, and we know the rest of the story here with sin, right? So anyway, what we can see is that the devil tries to use this often with us, right? Jeremy, it's what's best for you. It's okay. It doesn't matter what God says, right? Jeremy's will be done, not God's will be done, right? A lot of times, what is it? Our flesh tries to do that too, right? Try to put God on the back burner. Just put him on the back burner, right? You lead the cart, right? You are the one that's leading. Just put God on the back burner. Really, you can take care of yourself. You don't need God. Have you ever heard someone say that You know, you just have a crutch, you know? You have a crutch of with God, right? Can I tell you, He's my Savior, amen? You can define it however you want. He's my greatest friend. He helps me, He leads me, He guides me. He directs me, He shines the light in my path that's there. And the reality is, people say those things to try to, number one, push your button, and number two, because you may convict them, and they don't like the conviction, so they're trying to get you to doubt God or get away from God, put God on the back burner, right? And what we could see is how the Lord handled this. Now think about it. Every single thing that our Lord said was the very words of God. Everything that He said. Every word that He spoke. I mean, He's God in the flesh. He's trying to show us something here, very important, in verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." He didn't say every opinion of God. Every word of God. This Bible, every word that's in this Bible is important. Every word of God. And what we could see is our Lord's response, what did he do? He used His own word, right? Every single time that you'll see here that's recorded, I'm going to have to get my cough drop. I have that. It's like never-ending dry throat. And that one, I have to say, is probably not my favorite. It's lemon. Lemon cough drops. I mean, why did they even make lemon cough drops? I mean, I thought it was just cherry, right? So, anyway, how do we get on that? Oh, it is written. Every single time, what you'll see is when he responded in verse 4, verse 8, verse 12, he used his own word, the recorded word of Scripture, right? And the reality is we can learn from that. God is showing us how to deal with temptation is you have the very words of God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to thee, right? Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. You'll find that in the book of James, I think in chapter 4, around verse 7, right? You find that scripture, and you hold on to it. It's important to put it in your mind, your memory. We had a lady that came here, Doris, not this Doris, another Doris, and she tried her best to put scripture in her memory, right? Memorize scripture. And she was, I remember I went to visit her, and she was telling me, Debbie and I went to visit her, and she was explaining the importance of doing that. You know why? Because her sight. She started to lose sight, and she couldn't see as well as she could see, right? That's like me. I just like, ugh, you know. So she had a hard time reading the Bible, but the scripture was up there. And she could just go back to it and say, you know, I remember that verse. And she would tell herself. You know, sometimes if you think about it, when you put the scripture in, there's some places you can't take a Bible, right? There's been different times in my life I've gone and had an MRI. I think an MRI is the one that you go in, the little thing, and they put you in it, right? And it goes around you. Is that the one? I have had that, CAT scan, I don't know, whatever ones. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but you know, if they put you in feet first, it would be one thing, Jeremy. Well, they had to put me in head first, you know? And then I don't like little places like that. I just don't like that, right? So anyway, I didn't have my Bible with me, but I had my Bible with me up here. And I could just remember a scripture, and I would just pull out a scripture, and I would start saying that scripture over and over and over again. And next thing I know, praise the Lord, it was all done. And they took me out of that machine that was there and saying, praise the Lord, I'm good. Amen. But putting it into your heart, putting it into your memory. But we could see here the Lord is telling us we need every single word. Every single thing that's in this Bible is important. Old Testament and New. I had a gentleman, really don't like lemon. Ugh. Had a gentleman say something to me. He's like, he said, so you probably just do all your teaching that's in the New Testament, right? You probably don't do Old Testament. And I said, oh, no. I said, I do all the Bible, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Old Testament, New Testament, to go through and explain. Can I tell you, there's things in the Old Testament we'll see here that's extremely important to help you. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. So everything in this book is important. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yuck. That's number two, Ariana. Remember what we were talking about earlier? Yeah,
number
two.
No.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look here verse 16 where he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed. All Scripture. Every single thing that's here, God gave it to man and man wrote it down. But it's all Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. And what does he say about all the Scripture? And is profitable for doctrine. Your belief should be based on what's in this book. What you believe should be based on what does the Bible say. For reproof, for correction. Sometimes someone will get mad or say something. Why would you say that? Well, the Bible says it's wrong. It's not me. It's not my authority. It's God. God is the one that's saying wrong. Why can't I do this? Well, you can, but it's sin. Who said? God said. You know, that's what our world is trying to do. Get God, right, out of the equation. If they can remove God, then all they have is what it's your opinion and my opinion, right? So if you think about marriage, right? Marriage, God is the one who gave marriage. God is the one who established marriage. It's God, right? You take God and put it to the side, then what is it? Man is saying, oh, well, then I established marriage, and marriage can be whatever I want it to be. And that's what's happening in our society, where they're allowing men to marry men and women to marry women. That's gross. That's sick, right? What else? Now they're opening up. In other countries, there's people that's marrying their dogs. You know? Why? Take God out of the equation, and what's the matter, right? Other places, matter of fact, I think there's a show, I don't watch it, but I thought there was a show that was on television that was it like Sister Wives or something, where a guy had multiple wives or whatever. You know, who cares, right? That it's as long as we love each other, isn't that all that matters, right? No, God said it's wrong, right? So you think about that's what our world's trying to do. We have a right. How do we correct? It's not based on my opinion. When you set God aside, then you'll get into a debate. My opinion gets your opinion. And a lot of times what they'll do is they'll say this, Doris, let's keep God out. You know why? Because they cannot debate God. God said this is wrong. Period. Right? I don't believe it. Well, that's what God said. Right? So, anyway. And what's it said? For instruction in righteousness. Right? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to know how to live? It's all in this book. How to fight off temptation? It's here. It's right in this Bible. You have this manual. You know, I think you said that to me one time, Mark, years ago, and I remembered it. Here's the manual to life, right? You have a manual to your car, a manual to other things. Here's a manual to life, how to live. And here it is. God has given you and I a manual, right? Look what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, so we can see our Lord used Scripture. Instead of listening to the devil and following him, he didn't give in to temptation. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start reading here at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock, of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I'm telling you, I should have brought some glasses in here to see. Whoo, you know. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Examples, right? I'll come back to that in a minute. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. You go back and look, and there was actually a little bit more than died, but this says one day, right? So the other place in the Old Testament is a little bit more than that. Why? Because it was more than a day. Anyway, that's free. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now look at this. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. He said here there are examples, and they were written for our admonition. What was those things he referred to? Old Testament. Things of Israel in the wilderness, Old Testament. And what was it? As they were on their way, they looked and they were like, we have got nothing to drink. And what do? Blame God. You know? God just delivered you from Egypt. They blame God. They get mad at God. They start to murmur and complain. What happened? God brought those serpents, and those fiery serpents bit them, right? And what was it? They were thinking, whoa, our complaining is done. We're going to die. And they go to Moses and say something to Moses. Moses, what should we do? And God told him what to do, right? And it was a picture of Christ, that servant, that brazen servant that was placed on a pole. Murmured, right? They were destroyed. They were written for our learning. Those things in the Old Testament that you can learn from. David. Remember David? David should have been, as king, should have been out leading the battle. Do you know what happened the one time he didn't go out? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He stayed home. He's like, well, I got to find something to do. And he was looking around and he was kicking rocks. I'm ad-libbing. I don't know what he was doing. Right? He's trying to find something to do. And he was like, you know, it's a little, maybe I'll do some dishes. I ain't doing that. You know? And then he gets up on top of his house and looks out and he sees a lady. And he's like, whoa, she's pretty. And she's here. She's taking a bath. And he looked. He lusted. And he says, And then he tells someone, and someone warned him and said, hey, you know, she's married, right? That's the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit does that. What are you doing looking, lusting, right? David gave in and committed adultery. Why? He was tempted. The lust that was there in his heart. And you know, when you go through Scripture, God will talk about David, and the thing that he will talk about David, one of the things he says, that he was happy with David other than this one thing. He looked, he lusted, and he gave in. And that there caused a horrible trouble in his life from that point on. You read in Scripture and look at David's life from that point on, you know what you see? You just see trouble. Trouble. Battles. His son causing trouble. Why was that? Because he did something he shouldn't have. He heed, right? So, going up to the top of his roof is not sin, right? Looking out and seeing someone, you know, that's doing something, just looking like, not thinking and be like, whoa, that's all he had to do was like, whoa, what am I doing? No, right? But he looked and he lusted, right? You start to think. A lot of times people think it's committing the actual act, and that is wrong. But if it's in your heart, in your mind, there was a scripture I memorized, and I probably can't pull it back out right now at this time. But it talks about that someone lust in their heart, right? You think about a lady that you shouldn't think in a way that's bad. He says that you committed adultery in your heart. It's not just the actual act, but it's thinking about it, right? So anyway, you can learn that in the Old Testament. What was it? Be where you're supposed to be. Don't be where you're not supposed to be. And so anyway, that's what the Bible's told us. Look over here to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 15. Now, God forgave him, but he had to live with that the rest of his life. Look here in Romans chapter 15. You know what I think is amazing about that story? I mean, not good. But Uriah, the character of Uriah, when David got him to come home, he said, hey, how's things going? He didn't really care. He says, hey, why don't you go home with your wife? And he's like, nope, I won't do it. The character of that man, David ended up giving the death warrant, orders that he would die, and gave it to Uriah. He trusted so much in Uriah that he wouldn't look. You know, if Uriah, it was like some of us, would have been nosy and been like, what does that say? No one's going to know. He would have realized, oh no, David's going to have me killed. But he had character. Uriah was one of the mighty men. He lost a mighty man because of his sin. Look here in Romans chapter 15, in verse 1. Matter of fact, you know what's interesting? Uriah was a mighty man. Joab, you remember the one leading? Was not. Joab's servant was, but Joab wasn't. So that's just free for you. So Jenny already knew that, amen? She read the Old Testament, must have saw it. The Bible says here in verse 1, in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Here's the verse. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the scripture, through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Written for our learning. Everything that's in this Bible is there to help you. The things that David went through, the things that Joseph went through, whatever Jacob went through, whatever his, everything that's in there is for our learning, that we can learn from it, right? Samson, you think about Samson, I'm always amazed when every time I go through Judges and get to Samson, the story of Samson, and I sit there and I think what he could have accomplished. I mean, he could have done some great things for God. Now, we know he had faith. I think he's in the Hall of Faith chapter that's in Hebrews. He had faith. But instead of God being first, it was Samson. Samson is a picture of a worldly Christian just living in the flesh, right? And instead of living for God. And that's Samson's life. But you can read, you know, are learning. And what was it? Samson, he loved women. He lusted. And he came to his dad one time. And he told his dad, he's like, "Dad, there's a lady down there. I want her." And his dad responded and said, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact words, "Why is it that you always want someone of the world instead of someone that's a Jew? Why is that?" Because his flesh, right? "And I want a girl of the world." And you know what? He got a girl of the world, and she killed him. Well, she didn't do it, but she's the one that did it, you know. Anyway, for air learning. You can learn a lot if you get in this book. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to have to get a magnifying glass or something. I was doing good, Doris. And then this eye just changed. It was just like... Nothing about getting older. Nothing at all. Look here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5 through 8. "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And the Lord and Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written," again, written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Here it is, we can see the devil, the second one that's here, was trying to get him to worship our Lord, to worship the devil, right? Material things, power, idols. Now you think about that. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Creator, created all things. And here it is, the devil, when our Lord was there, takes him and says, "Look at all these kingdoms. I'll give them to you." Amen? Now you think how stupid that is. Amen? I mean, he's God. Amen? I mean, he is the Creator that's there. That's what the devil does to a lot of people, material things, power, idols. People fall for this temptation. They fall for it over and over, putting anything before God. Before I got saved, my God was baseball. Literally. I love baseball, right? I play baseball. I love baseball. That was my God. And I sit there and think how foolish, right? It's just stupid. It's a sport. What does it matter? But I'm telling you, the devil does that. He gets people to fall for material things, to worship idols, money, people, power, things, self. The devil knows that you can't lose your salvation if you're truly born again. So you know what he'll try to do? Ruin your testimony. Try to get you outside of God's will. Look what the Bible says over here. I think it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We saw how our Lord handled it. He gave scripture, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, see, if we want to do what's right, keep God first, right? Don't compromise. Don't put idols, don't put people, don't put things, don't put money, don't put power, anything before God. You may be here tonight. Think about it. Usually on Wednesday evening are people that come because you love God. You want to be at church, right? Usually those that come on Wednesday, it's a blessing, and I'm glad that you're here. But you know, you may be faithful to church. You may be serving the Lord. You may be, you know what I mean? A lot of times people say you're preaching to the choir. What they mean is those that are faithful. The choir needs to be preached to also, right? And we all need to be preached to. But just because you're faithful, serving, doing what's right, doesn't mean that this temptation can't get you. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read the first part of verse 10. For Demas, now who was Demas? Look what he says. Has forsaken me, having loved this present world. The devil got him. He was with Paul. He was serving. You imagine being part of Paul's ministry as Paul was reaching people for Christ. What a glorious thing that must have been. See people getting saved. People following in baptism. People growing in the Lord. The Bible doesn't tell us which thing it was that got him in this present world because he forsook him. So the reality is, you think about that, it could have been all kinds of things. It could have been a lady. A lady could have got his heart and took him away from God. It could have been someone that came to Demas and said, "Hey, Demas, you looks like you're struggling a little bit. I got a job for you. And this job I'll pay you very well. But you're not going to be with Paul anymore. But it will take care of everything." There's nothing wrong with having a good job. Please don't misunderstand me, right? But if you get a really good job and it takes you away from God, get rid of that job, right? You'd be better off working at McDonald's than having a job that takes you away from God. Loving this present world. Something got him. I guarantee you there are probably hundreds and probably thousands of men that God has called into the ministry that are no longer in the ministry. They're doing something else because the devil got them. Not got their soul. Loving this present world. In the job that I'm in today, the company I'm working with today, my HR person, she left the company, called me and when I was at work and said she wanted to talk to me. And she said, "I have an opportunity for you." She went to another company and she said, "If you come to this company, I have a job. And we'll make sure we have a pathway to make you the CFO of the company." That's a big thing. Chief financial officer. Jenny, that's a lot of money. A lot of moolah, right? We're not eating at McDonald's. We're going to Burger King now, right? We can get supersized, right? So anyway. And I told her, "No. No, thank you." You know, I didn't really have to even think about it, right? Why? Because that would have took me away from what God wanted me to do. I had other opportunities for an opportunity to work. They were going to take me down in the city of Philadelphia. I don't know if I told you that, but I already knew that answer. You know, even if I wanted to go, which I wouldn't, there was no way she would live in the city. We went down to the city one time, and it was... She didn't even like getting out of the hotel, right? I was like, "Come on, go out in the hotel." You're like, "You're not a city girl, right? Not even close, right?" So what I'm saying is it could be things to that nature. It could be, you know, a lady, you know, as a lady. It could be a guy. There's been men, there's been ladies that love God, been serving God, and they get together with a guy that takes their heart away from God. Having loved this present world. Here's free advice. You know, If you're getting ready to, you want to date someone, right? A Christian should date a Christian, marry a Christian. If they're not going to church and they're not faithful, I would be very leery. Find someone that's serving the Lord. I remember I had a pastor one time before I got married. He said, you know, you need to serve God with your whole heart. And find someone that's serving God with her whole heart. You know? Because then that's a blessing, right? And I was blessed. God gave me a wonderful wife that serves the Lord. Demas has forsaken me. He was with God, or with Paul. He was doing what was right. And what was it? The devil. The devil got him. Folks, what I'm saying is, and I'll come back to this next week. The truth of the matter is, the devil doesn't care what he uses, who he uses, to get your eyes off the Lord. To get you, and you know, it may not be wrong in itself, but if it takes you away from God, then it is wrong. I use this example. I don't golf anymore. Even if I wanted to, I don't have clubs anymore. Amen? But Yeah, I could probably get a good deal on it, maybe. But anyway, nothing wrong with golfing. But you know what my problem was when I would go golfing? I would always want to be really good. And sometimes the best rates they would give you would be Sunday afternoon. Come and golf, and you golf as much as you want, right? I don't have time to do that, you know? I don't have time and effort to do all that. And I don't want anything to take me away from the Lord. Mark, the last time I went golfing, I shot an 80-something. I think it was mid-80 or something.
You beat my 120.
The last time. And you know what? I said, I'm done. I was in the 80s. I figured, I am done. Amen. I'll end on that note. But anyway, don't let the devil will say, hey, worship me. And what he'll use is, he'll use things of this world. Eve, look at that fruit over there. That looks good, right? Don't heed to those things. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Worship him. Next week I'll come back and we'll continue this study. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, thank you for helping me. Lord, it was my eyes are a little off, but I thank you for helping me. Apologize, Father, for misreading the words or saying them incorrect. It wasn't intentional, as you know, my heart, as I was trying to read them. But Lord, thank you for that. And I pray that you give us safety as we travel home and help us to remember these scriptures. Help us to find scriptures to hold on to when those temptations come. Lord, that we run to you. Give us safety as we travel home. In Jesus' precious name, amen.